Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, one of the hosts for the longest running Dynasty focused podcast on the planet, the DLF Dynasty Podcast. Each week we'll bring you an episode packed with relevant and actionable Dynasty information that you can use to help win your league. When I'm in the host chair, we might even play a game or two. We are always open to topic suggestions, so if there's something you'd like to hear us discuss, please let us know. Thanks for listening.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Hart.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
And I'm Stompy, and I also have a trading problem.
You look so happy to say that. It actually made me happy how happy you were to say that.
I like talking to you guys.
Yay. Well, welcome everybody. Session 49 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. And hopefully Brian will survive our show. He let us know right before we started recording that he took NyQuil and then drank coffee. So
woo!
Everybody like clap. So Brian's heart like is a fairy, like Tinkerbell. You need to clap to keep her alive or something. Just start clapping so Brian's heart doesn't give out.
All good.
He needs that appreciation.
All good.
Well, today we don't really have a necessary topic we're going to talk about, but we got a couple of questions, and that's going to lead to things we're going to talk about, because talk about. Not off to a strong start, Brian. Well, I don't have to do the interview stuff. Everybody knows who Stompy is. If you don't know who Stompy is, yeah, where the hell have you been? I guess we have 45 minutes. Why don't you list everything you've been doing lately?
I won SFB8 since I was last on.
All right, that's
a
good place to start.
I don't know if anybody's actually heard that.
Yeah, I don't know if you've never heard of SFB8. It's the Scott Fish Bowl. It's a little fantasy football league that gets put together every year.
Little one. What else? Joined FF Statistics, I guess, quote unquote, full time. I'm dedicated to FF Statistics.
Are you?
I am.
Did you tell your other six websites that you're actually only dedicated to FF Statistics?
I actually did. I pared it down to one website.
Oh, but, wow. Good for you, man.
But started a podcast with my podcast partner, Eitan Mosia, called Dynasty Diagnostic.
Pop the hood.
Yes. And it's the most lit intro music ever. Yeah, I said lit.
Yeah, you did. You're like the kids these days.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, if you out there are listening to this show and not listening to Dynasty Diagnostic, fix that. His show is really freaking good, and I hate it because I don't hate it. I love his show, but I'm just jealous of how good his show gets at times. Him and Eitan are just way too damn smart. And like I'm trying to sit there writing notes as they're talking, then I remember I'm driving and I shouldn't be writing notes while driving.
You know, you actually helped make us better podcasters. I don't know if you've heard us call out the transitions while we're doing them to you, but oh, look, we're doing it. Outhouse, we're doing it.
I do remember that. That was fantastic. I taught you guys a lesson and you kept going. You learned.
And then I also joined Superflex Super Show as a co-host.
Stealing both of our spots.
Yep. with John Hogue and James.
James the Brain.
We'll just call him James the Brain because I don't really know how to pronounce his last name. Sorry, buddy.
Usually this is where Brian jumps in and says it correctly.
I think he might be dead, actually.
Yeah,
His heart had a heart murmur.
It's hard as hell to get a word in edgewise with Outhouse on here every week. And then Stompy comes on. I could just hang the headset up for like an hour and, you know, stop
if you don't mind.
Yeah. You know,
we want to get pretty intimate here. I love you, Outhouse.
Hold on. Let me get these lights right here.
Literally turned the lights off. He literally turned the lights off.
Setting the mood. Okay, it's weird.
Okay.
Oh, right, so FF Superflex Super Show. Ugh, baseball. What's baseball?
I don't know. America's favorite pastime.
Never heard of it.
But yeah, you guys don't really care about that. So
yeah. All right. Well, thanks for coming back, even after you made it big time. I appreciate it. I feel blessed. So we are
You guys made it big time now with DLF.
You guys in. It's like they felt bad because Brian was like, you know, guys, I write for you and I have a podcast. You think maybe they're like, oh, this guy won't shut up. Let's just do it. That's fine.
That's exactly how it went
down. Don't get me wrong.
Exactly how it went down.
I'll take it. I will grab onto someone's coattails and go for a ride. I am not ashamed of that. All right. We are going to first. The combine happened, you guys.
Dead.
And I need to be honest. I did not watch a second of it. Did either of you?
No.
Brian, I can't tell what you're nodding yes or no. Brian, did you watch the combine?
I watched a little bit of it, but not nearly as much as last year. I watched a lot of videos after the fact. I didn't watch it live. I was busy over the weekend, but I have caught up a little bit on what went down. But no, I didn't sit there in front of the TV all weekend. So
yeah, like the way I see it, I'm gonna have to go listen to the Dynasty Dummies for them to tell me what to think about all of that stuff anyway. Yep. So I was watching, it really wasn't gonna get me anywhere. But we did have a few people asking about any player values, rookies that changed all that much with the combine or pick value in general. So I figure, well, we're not going to talk about player stock themselves. We could at least talk about pick values a little bit. But since I'm still not super in on a lot of the rookies, the big guys, of course, I know about. There's one thing I do want to talk about, which it comes to the specific players. We need to be careful not to double up on things we knew already. We knew DK Metcalf was fast. So the fact that he ran like a 4.3 something, like we shouldn't make him more valuable. We knew he was going to do that. If anything, he should be docked for only having 1.6 body fat, because that's A, unfair. B, that has to be unhealthy. Like
it is. It's very unhealthy. Less than 3% is very unhealthy.
Yeah, and he did more bench presses than I think anyone ever, something like that. So
he's not very agile. He had worse three cone and shuttle times than Tom Brady.
Well, you know, Tom Brady's the GOAT, so that makes sense.
He did. He has rushed for over 1,000 yards in his career.
See, that's like the thing that happens with like 2 years ago where John Ross like catapulted because he broke the 40 record. We knew that was going to happen. Like, we didn't know he was going to break the record, but we knew he was fast. That's what he does. So we just need to be careful not to double count things we knew already. I was trying to think of something like off the top of my head that like ran a little, like, I mean, I think N'Keal Harry ran a little faster than we thought he would.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can move him up could be tough for some people because he's the 101 for some, but it's something that was outside of our realm of expectation. We can't, you know, N'Keal Harry does great in the gauntlet. We're not going to give him extra points. We know he has good hands. That's what he does. But I'm going to keep saying the same thing in six different ways. So unless anyone else has anything combine-wise to talk about, I think we're just going to move on. Anything? No? Brian?
No, I mean, I honestly think people put too much stock in it. You know, I mean, we watch these players. So two things. First of all, I think you're exactly right. I think you don't double count something that you already know. Okay, so it should confirm things. Yes, it shouldn't propel a player too much in either direction. But people are losing their minds about, like, you know,
Harmon from NC State, the receiver, I think he ran a 4.6 or something, and people are like, oh my God, he's so slow. He's so, like, I mean, we're talking about how fast Harry ran, right? 4.53, and they weigh almost identical. They're like 7 pounds apart, same height and 7 pounds apart. So, like, you know, the agility stuff, I think, matters a little bit more than the straight line speed or whatever, in my opinion. But I just, the combine to me is just a, I mean, it's another tool that teams and dynasty owners can use to kind of evaluate players against one another, I guess. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, like, some of that stuff just doesn't matter either. I mean, Antonio Brown was slow as shit. He's, you know, I mean, there's numerous examples of players that have run a 40-yard dash very slowly, and when they get on the field, nobody ever calls them slow. You know, so I don't know. I mean, I think the combine is what it is. They're wearing shorts and spandex and tight shirts and running around. It's another thing to use, I guess, to evaluate, but I think people put way, way too much stock into it, to be honest.
Yeah, I think the combine is used for confirmation bias or unconfirmation. What's the opposite of confirmation bias? Don't know. Right.
Well, I will say this. There are some numbers that I do like. I don't like, I mean, 40 speed, that's just top end speed, really. A lot of that doesn't really matter. Like Brian said, it just, there's great football players that ran very slow. Arian Foster, Devonta Freeman, like, there's very good players that have run slow. To me, like, the agility drills, I think, are relatively important because it lets you know how guys maneuver in space, and how, I think that's more a measure of athleticism than, say, running real, real fast. Yeah. And then the other thing, why do we care about bench press for anybody but, like, the linemen?
I mean, tight ends, it matters a little, right?
Well, okay, tight ends, sure. But
yeah, for the same reason it matters for linemen, yeah.
So. Right, so for me, especially, like, for running backs, and I've heard many people say this, do squats, do deadlift. Like, that's
actually a very good idea.
Well, it's more of a show of how powerful they actually are.
I mean, imagine how much Saquon would have ruined the combine if he did squats instead of bench presses.
But yeah, like, so I wholly agree. And then the gauntlet drills, kind of its own thing. Like,
I mean, I like the idea of the burst scores. That's the vertical jump and the long jump sort of shoved together.
Yeah, yeah. And but, like, straight line speed, gauntlet, bench press, those things just don't matter. And at the end of the day, they just don't.
Yeah, I think we've said the same thing enough amount of times that we could just move on. So now we're going to talk about the 101. Not really necessarily who we have at the 101, but the value of the pick itself. It's funny. Here's a question, as opposed to saying this is funny, because I had no idea where I was going with that. The past few years, I think every, like, past, like, 5-6 years, besides the Corey Davis Leonard Fournette year, where there was, like, a little bit of who, we've had a solid 101, except for the Treadwell, weird people.
Dachshund.
No, did anybody actually do that? I hope they didn't do that. Oh man, they probably quit Dynasty if
Treadwell over Zeke.
Yeah, you quit. That's all you can do. You can't live that down. But this year, it's a little bit more of, you know, it could be a couple of people. It seems like a lot of people have N'Keal, a couple of people have DK, a couple of people have like Josh Jacobs. To me, I think it makes it easier to trade the 101 when there's multiple people who are more likely to trade up to make sure they get the guy they want, as opposed to the overpay you'll need to do when it's Zeke or Saquon. Have either of you seen 101 trades, and have they been reasonable in your eyes?
I actually just saw one in my home league. It was 101 for Leonard Fournette and Allen Robinson. to me, that's, I mean, you're probably looking at least two firsts for the pair. I think both of them are worth a first. Mm-hmm. Maybe Fournette might be worth a little more, depending. But 101 in this class, I'm taking the two players that have had like good seasons over an unknown, likely wide receiver, which may not be up to snuff until year two or three.
Anything for you, Brian?
Not really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I haven't seen many trades in my leagues with the 101. I was just actually trying to pull it up on DLF's website, the Dynasty Trade Finder, searching by the draft pick. What's that?
Gave me an error earlier today when I tried to open it up.
Yeah, so it's, and it actually doesn't have, it looks like it doesn't have, like, it says the 18-101, so I'm not sure what the deal is with that. I may have, or I may not be using it right. I don't know. But anyways,
so like,
I really haven't seen a lot of deals with the 101.
Yeah. I think, what show were we just on that hasn't even been released yet? So really,
CWZ Warzone.
Yeah. Dynasty Warzone. We were talking about, there are a bunch of events that going on where after every single event, the 101 is going to get a little bit more valuable. And the combine was absolutely one of them. And then I think free agency is going to happen, and you're going to see that team that you want to take the wide receiver not take a wide receiver, and then it's going to get a little bit more valuable. And then the draft happens, you find out which guy goes where, and that makes it even more valuable. And then your draft happens, and that's going to be the most it is. I think DK Metcalf, just being not human in all of his measurable stuff, I think that's going to put casuals kind of crazy for him, and I think that boosts the 101 value. So I want to talk about what we would trade the 101 for, and Stompy, try and actually value it as opposed to being your Mr. Grumpy Gus about it.
It's awful. This class is the worst.
I said not.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right, so I pulled up February DLF ADP. Now, this is one quarterback because February wasn't up for Superflex. N'Keal Harry is 49 and DK Metcalf is 51 in ADP. So we'll just combine that and say 50, which is actually, I think, pretty low comparatively. I mean, it'll probably go up with March. And it's the 5th. Why haven't they done that yet? Come on, man. I'm trying to give these people information. So we are going to go down this list. I started at 39 and went down to 53. And we're going to see which of these players, I think it might not be a lot, are we going to trade the 101 for? The 101 or Mike Williams?
I'm probably taking 101.
I'm easily taking the 101.
I probably am as well.
Man, you guys are a lot more, well, think about that a lot more than I thought you would.
Mike Williams is questionable just because we saw double digit touchdowns last season, even though he was technically the wide receiver 3. Now Tyrell Williams is likely gone, but then there's the Hunter Henry issue, so he's kind of an enigma. Mm-hmm. But I think his ceiling's pretty high if he becomes a red zone weapon for, or continues to be the red zone weapon with a bump in targets.
All right. Devontae Freeman or the 101?
101.
101. I like Devontae Freeman, but...
Dude, I'm not even paying a first for him at this point.
I'm trying to pay late first for him.
I don't think I will get rid of anything before like 203-ish. Has to be after that for me. Derrick Henry or the 101?
101.
Same. Yep.
Calvin Ridley.
101.
Tariq Cohen.
101.
101.
Marlon Mack.
101.
I love Marlon Mack, and I just put 101 over him.
Yeah, I'll take 101 over him.
Cooper Kupp.
I'm taking Kupp.
That's a really good one. That's a really good one. I probably would too, because of the way that a certain portion of the community, a large portion of the community, values Cooper Kupp. I think I'd probably rather own the player at the 101 more long term in Dynasty, but given Kupp's current value, I think I'd probably take him and then try to move him for two firsts or something. So someone tried that with me.
All right. Let's try and do this a little quicker just to finish this list. Jarvis Landry.
101.
One pick.
Probably 101, yeah.
Aaron Jones.
Oof.
See, I love Jones, but I don't think he's worth near the 101.
For this class, it's a little bit difficult, but the news that
oh, come on. It's February.
I'll take 101.
Still.
LaFleur came out and said that their best move is to use them as a committee, just in case people don't know what we're talking about.
Yep.
I'll take Jones here.
Yeah. No. DJ Moore?
I want Moore.
Yeah, I think I'm taking DJ.
Philip Lindsay?
101.
Kareem Hunt?
101.
AJ 101, one, yeah, 101 for me too on Hunt.
Yeah, I figured with you. Yeah. That's kind of why I skipped. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
AJ Green.
101 for me, which and is crazy.
Yeah, I'm taking AJ Green. I'm guessing two or three years of wide receiver one seasons more, and that's all I can really look out on Dynasty.
See, the thing is, like, you don't have to. Like, I don't think you have to for AJ Green. So that is up to 39 in ADP, where we mostly picked the 101. So now let's go to some trade calculator values. I used Dynasty Trade Calculator, searched a couple of people, and these were around the area, and they were higher in ADP than anyone we've listed. 101 or Corey Davis?
Corey Davis for me.
Yeah, I think so too.
Same's Kenny Golladay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Golladay.
Robert Woods?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. You.
I'd probably take the 101, but it's close.
Trader Joe will be happy to hear about that. He was the first person that brought up that argument that Woods should be worth the 101 or more.
Oh, he absolutely should be.
Yeah, but he wasn't for a long time.
Still isn't. I think I'd take Michelle there.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not even the biggest fan, but I think I would also. Carry on.
Carry on 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, so that shows, I mean, I feel like February ADP was the first time rookies were involved, and we have more information now than we did then, so I think rookies will go up, mm-hmm. And it seems like we have, in the mid-30s, we have. So if you are an ADP watcher, maybe that's what you should be aiming for when it comes to trying to trade away that 101, or thinking if you should. If you should part, we know Stompy says trade it the hell away.
Well, here, so the thing for, and I'm sure you've heard us talk about on a Dynasty Diagnostic, is wide receivers generally take 2 to 3 years to become something in the NFL.
What are you talking about, man? 2014, all of them hit that first year.
Okay, and that's gotten a lot of people in trouble over the past five. So really, I always recommend, if you're going to pick running backs and trade for wide receivers. But for that reason, this class is full of wide receivers. So that's why I'm trading out of this class and into 2020, which has more running backs, a lot more running backs, a lot more better running backs. And I'm trading those picks for either 2020 picks or for wide receivers that maybe, like Corey Davis, you can get for, let's say, 101, and he's going into year three, hopefully with a better situation now that Mariota can feel his hand.
Do you want to talk about the offer you got that we were talking about before we started recording, or is that not an on-air kind of thing?
Oh, no, that's fine. So speaking of, trading 2019 for 2020 picks, I did get offered 2020 first, which is likely going to be early. I mean, I know it's bad to assume, but this guy's team is he has the 101 this year.
And
or he had the 101 this year. And his team just doesn't have any depth or really even height for that matter. So I got offered his 2021st for 1.09.
Brian, well, Stompy and I talked about it a little bit. So let's hear your opinion first and then I'll jump in.
I would take the 2021st pretty easily there.
So I am trying to get him to throw like a second year wide receiver on top, Robert Foster, ESB, D-Day Shark. Just to make that argument that, oh, well, picks for the given year are worth more than the next year. I don't necessarily agree. I think 2020 is more valuable. But if I can get somebody for him to throw like a less valuable second year wide receiver, I'm going to try and do it.
Yeah, I would definitely do that too. I think that's smart.
Yeah. See, I agree with a lot of what you just said. Time matters. Time is money. So I sound so stupid saying that out loud. So while, yes, I understand the fact that this class is, quote fingers, weaker than the 2020 class is going to be, especially in the Superflex League, you should still have a premium on drafting now as opposed to drafting next year. So while I like the idea of trading this year for next year, I think you need to do what Stompy's saying. Unless it's like the 112. In that case, I guess more power to you. If like you just don't care about drafting and seeing that number one in front of that pick makes that person so happy, chances are it's not going to be the 112 next year. There's a very good chance. I mean, the kind of luck that will work into that.
Yeah, but, see, and for me, I think I agree with that for the most part. I think you have to decide where the major teardrop is, right? Because to me, if I'm not getting it, for example, if I like the top seven guys in this year's draft, but I think that, you know, next year's top tier is 12 deep, then after that seventh pick, then that's when I'm going to start considering, you know, moving on from those. I absolutely agree, though, to you know, that you should try to use the argument that time is money, right? And it's exactly what you're saying, Russ. I think that's a great way to approach that. And I think most people will at least pay a little something on top.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be a second, it may not be a player, depending on, or it may not be a player that you're targeting, but maybe a third, maybe a, you know, little bit of a lesser player. I think Foster's a great one to go after, Sam. I mean, that's a guy that I've targeted in a lot of places too.
Yeah, I think we need to take the John Hogue method of thinking when it comes to something like this. Like, you're trading away something from this year, so you need something that's going to give you points this year, not just a pick next year. That, I mean, again, if you're at a point where you're like this, it says it's a first round pick, but I don't think there's anyone that's worth first round, and you can get a first round pick next year where we know, I mean, I don't know, there's going to be 12, but chances are, like you said, it might look like it's going to be early. Maybe it's worth it just to do it. It's not how I get down. But yeah, go get your guy, go get your pick, whatever makes you happy. It's, you know, all we could really do is tell you how we feel about it. And I guess you listen to somewhat care how we feel. All right. So before we close out this talk, I want to say one piece of advice that I think I've said the past three shows, and I'm going to say it again. Draft for talent, trade for need. We get a lot of questions every single day. I have the, you know, 104 and I'm weak at running back. So what? Doesn't matter. You take the most valuable player there and you use that value to get yourself a running back. If you can't trade back, if you need to take one of those wide receivers there, you can't trade away the pick. rookie wide receivers don't lose value. It's, I mean, we're still talking about Corey Davis over the 101 when he was drafted at the 101. And what has he really done in the past? Wait, how long has he been in the league? 2 years?
This will be three, I think.
This will be three, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's been there 2 years already. So I don't give up too much value to try and fill a need where if you're depending on your rookies to score points for you, your team's not in as good a shape as you think it is. I as a little, unless it's Zeke or Saquon, in which case more power to you. But your average rookie, even running backs, which we, well, it's not assume is the wrong word, of which we know, I guess, to be fair, that they have the better chance of producing right away as opposed to wide receivers. You shouldn't depend on that. So don't draft because you have a hole. Don't draft a player because you have a hole in your team somewhere. You draft for talent, figure out to fill that need later. Good. Yeah, we can move on. All right, cool. Before we jump into a few listener questions, we're going to go to a Trade Addicts trade. Give me some soundboard. You haven't done anything yet. We didn't really have
a Trade Addicts trades.
I'm glad you could stop yawning in time to do that.
NyQuil.
You're getting that meta description on this one. Adhouse just calling out everything that's going on.
You doing okay, Brian? You're still
gonna, yeah, I'm good.
Still breathing?
Oh, yeah.
All right, we're just going to do a Brian breathing check every once in a while. So the Trade Addicts leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium. A little bit of extra points for return yardage. Our first Trade Addicts, actually both trades are from Trade Addicts 6. This first one is a little close to home because it was between me and one of the other people on this show. I won't say who, but they were the SFBA champion. That doesn't give too much away.
Nope, doesn't.
No. Yeah. So the trade was Marlon Mack and Dante Pettis for the 203, a 2021st, and Marcel Aitman. Now, since clearly Stompy ruined it and, you know, said it was him.
Ryan, I didn't say, I never said that.
You talked. People knew.
Oh, sorry.
You gave it away. You don't need to say the words. They felt it.
Okay.
I have very emotionally intelligent listeners. I don't know if you know that.
Well, I'm a listener, so I don't know what that says.
Well, you know, you have to bring down the average a little bit, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
All right, so Brian, how do you feel about this trade?
I'm
trying to see what I did, what I voted on this one.
Yeah, I did not pull up the Twitter polls.
I got smoked. It's fine.
I think.
Well, today's a new day. Forget who you voted for back then. Right. Who are you voting for right now?
I will take Mac and Pettis.
That's right, you will. And maybe this won't be the trade heard around the world like your last one was, Stompy.
No. I still got crushed in this poll, though.
Did you really? I didn't think it was going to be that bad. I have made no secrets of my Marlon Mack love right now. I've been going after Marlon Mack and Dalvin Cook, and spoiler alert, the next trade is me getting Dalvin Cook. So, I forgot, was there even, there was a little bit of negotiation on this, right?
Yeah, because I think you proposed it.
I did.
And I think it started out with 2021st and 2.03. I would have to look back. But
yeah, and I think I threw Marlon Mack by himself, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, regardless, let's tell them why you came after Marcel Aitman.
Well, I mean, if we actually,
not because John Gruden said that he was going to be the X receiver.
No, it is. Mm-hmm. But really, Marcel Aitman towards the end of the season last season actually did decent. He didn't play in the first like 10 games of the season. But let me look at this up real quick. So the last sorry, six, five of the last six games of the season, he had four more targets. Had a 10 target game against Baltimore. He didn't get a ton of yardage, but he saw usage. And now they don't have Amari Cooper. They have Jordy Nelson. Who knows what's going on with Bryant? But
free agent.
Cook's a free agent. They need pass catchers. And Marcel Aitman was one of those kind of late round guys that a lot of people were excited about. And he showed flashes last season. So,
and also because I outbid him on Marcel Aitman in Kitchen Sink?
I think so. So to me, and this is what we're talking about with getting those like add-ons. I think Mac is worth a first round pick. Let's just say mid first, because we can't really predict what's going to happen this season going into 2020. Dante Pettis is probably worth an early first at this point. And then, so I just decided if he added,
did you say that Dante Pettis was worth an early first?
Sorry. I thought I said early second. Dante Pettis is worth an early second. I apologize.
All right. Cause I was about to say that, man, your valuation was really off on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And then, yeah, I just, Marcel Aitman was going to get it done for me. So I don't feel bad about losing the poll, obviously, because Twitter sometimes is stupid, but
hey,
but I mean, I think I got a little bit higher than what I would have taken, and I'm fine with that. I mean, Marlon Mack's fine, Dante Pettis is fine, but there's no like super special talent there that I think I'm giving away.
Well, here's the other thing that I'll say. I think for me, this all comes down to Mack. I mean, if the problem with this deal, I think the way that they're currently valued, I think that's the side I want. This deal could be completely flipped if Le'Veon Bell ends up in Indianapolis, or if
they draft anyone,
or if Antonio Brown ends up in San Francisco, which it doesn't look like that's probably going to happen, but or any other big name receiver. You know, I think Pettis is a little bit safer than Mack, personally, but you know, just in terms of roles on their team. But you know, as of right now, I would lean that side, but that could change real quick. I mean, that 2021st is super valuable. So, you know, we'll see what happens here in free agency.
Yeah. And as Mr. Brian likes to say, people valuing players differently makes trades go around. I am a little higher on Mac than a lot of people right now. And it really, it's the freaking Alex Collins experience. And I'm going to get crushed by it again, where, you know, I'm going to get super high on Mac because the Colts won't do anything in the offseason. And it's just going to hurt my heart like Alex Collins did.
Me too, buddy. Me too.
But trades are fun. Clearly, I go for the Mac side. Clearly, he goes for the side he picked. I just hit my knee on the table, everybody.
I think the poll was skewed. People are going to call it bias, but I think I felt it was a very fair trade. So,
yeah. And I always say my first offer is always a little less than I'm willing to pay. And I mean, that's exactly what happened. The original offer was Mac and Pettis for the 203 and the 2021st. He asked for a little bit more, and it was something I was willing to do. And so it worked out perfectly. Like, this is exactly what a trade should be. Offer, counter offer. High five. So send counter offers, everybody.
Good job, guys.
Hooray for us.
We're the best. All right, so let's get to a listener question or two, and then we'll come back to the other trade addict trade. Oh, hey, we answered all these questions about the 101. Deleted. At Nick Martinez BR wants to know, what is the landing spot for Josh Rosen that boosts his value the most, and which landing spot would hurt his value the most? First of all, do we buy this? Do we buy Murray going 101 and then imagine trading Josh Rosen?
Ton of smoke.
Like, do we think this is we're going to draft Kyler. You guys better trade for the 101 because we're going to draft Kyler kind of thing? Like, that has to be it, right?
I don't. And I know front offices don't think this way. I just don't like the quarterbacks in this class. I don't think any one of them is worth the 1.01.
Yeah, that doesn't work in real football because, no. I mean, none of them are probably worth top 15, 20 picks, but like two or three are going to go in the top 15, right. 20 picks.
So, I mean, I have to lean yes. I have to lean that they're going to do what the Washington Redskins did in, what, 2014, 2013? When RG3 and
13,
Kirk Cousins were drafted in the same draft?
I mean, yeah. I mean, at least that would... Yeah, that was like, what, round 1 and 4, right?
Yeah, and I mean, the Seahawks did the same thing. They drafted Russ, signed Matt Flynn. Like, yeah. it's one of those things where it's like, maybe competition breeds excellence. It's... You bring in another young wide quarterback, and they just lift each other's levels a little bit.
All right, so let's assume they do draft Kyler Murray, and it is with the intention to trade Josh Rosen. This is a trading show, so let's just talk about it. What landing spot do you see as a reality, and what do you think would be good for his value?
I think New York's probably a decent reality. I'm hearing a lot of Washington as well.
Yeah, those are the two I'm hearing the most as well.
I don't necessarily know what it's going to take to get him.
Like, are you giving the 6 or whatever? I don't decide the 6. I don't remember what.
I think they're 6.
I don't remember what Washington has, but it has to be pretty early, right? Like, are you going to give a top 15 pick for Josh Rosen right now?
As a Broncos fan, I am.
Yeah.
I'll give
Flacco
one.
Flacco for Flacco. You were saying it a lot.
I'm not Flacco. I'm not down on it like or so down on it like most Broncos fans. Regardless, I would give the 110 for Rosen all day because I think that's what the Broncos are missing. But I would say the Giants are probably also missing that. So with this class. I guess it depends on how you feel about like tanking for Tua or Lawrence or Herbert or whatever.
And Lawrence would be a way out. But
you do not. So here. So can I jump in right there for a second with the Giants? Okay. You do not tank when you have Saquon Barkley on your squad. You don't tank. You don't waste another year of his production. And another year of his prime. He's a running back. Okay. They start going downhill at 27, 28 years old. They all do. Even Barkley. Yes. You know, and that's assuming he can stay healthy the whole time, which is a pretty big assumption here behind that offensive line. But here's the thing. I've been hearing a 3. I've been hearing a 3rd round pick.
My first reaction was a 2nd this year, a 2nd next year, and see if that gets it done.
But if you're the Giants, how do you not do that?
Yeah.
How do you not do that? I mean, you have enough holes in your team. You just let Collins walk, you know, on the back end of that secondary. You know, you need offensive line help for sure. Trade a 2nd or 2 for Rosen and get some offensive line help with your 1st round pick or if it is a 3rd, if a 3rd is the price, there should be about 15 teams.
Every team should do it. Round if 3rd is the price.
Yeah. You know, so you know, well, I guess we'll just have to see with that. But I mean, I don't know how, if you're New York, you don't try to get that guy with 2nds if that's a real possibility. I mean,
all right. So let's pretend this happens. What teams do you think are in the mix for it? Let's just say, what teams do you want to be in the mix for it? Because I mean, I think we all want Miami to get a real quarterback, right? Even though there's no one to throw to.
Albert Wilson, don't you dare. Don't you
all right, dare. I apologize. I do love Albert Wilson. I just, yeah, I got nothing. I forgot about him for a second.
So I think the best landing spot, despite the offensive line, is New York.
So do I.
Because they already have the skill positions in place.
Mm-hmm.
You have a, but the issue is that line is not good and he struggled behind the Cardinals line. So I think that's also an argument for them to stick with Eli and try and build up that line before they get any rookie behind there. And Rosen, I mean, though he's not a rookie, is starting in a new offense in his second season, if that's the case.
I mean, scrolling through the teams, that I mean,
I've heard a lot of Washington.
The Giants, the Redskins, and what, Miami? Are there any other teams that you think would even do that? I feel like at this point, the Broncos have too much tied up in quarterback to do something like this. So, I mean, there's not that many teams that do need a quarterback that urgently that I think that they'd be willing to do it. So let's just, any of those three teams, you think it would make it worse than it is in the Cardinals if he went to Miami?
That'd be the only one
I would think of the three. I think Washington would be a better situation too.
Sure they'll draft a wide receiver or three.
Yeah, I mean that, and that offensive line is pretty good. So when
they stay healthy, yeah.
Yeah, right. Exactly. When they can stay healthy, that's right.
Right. So they would lean on Geis. Probably do.
I love that.
They don't have the worst wide receivers. Paul Richardson has shown talent. Dachshund,
I'm a big fan, clearly.
I have a strand of hope for Dachshund still if he gets a decent quarterback in there that will throw 50-50s to him. If Jamison Crowder comes back, but if not, Trey Quinn's right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mind Washington one. I think if he stays in Arizona – and probably goes to Miami. Those two are kind of the worst situations.
I don't think I'm as down on Arizona as everyone is right now. Clint Kingsbury, that's such a tough name to say. Cliff Kingsbury was brought in to not care about defense. He was brought in to make that offense work. And how do you make an offense work? You have to throw the ball these days. So I think they're, if anything, it'll get him more use, and that's all you can really ask for.
And especially with Fitzgerald coming back and Kirk there, you have some and DJ, you have some options to throw short as well. That offensive line just scares me. So I don't know.
All right. Yeah, we've been talking about this. It's probably not going to happen for way too long. So I am going to go to at Dynasty Dingo wants to know, what guys do you think should be drafted one round higher than their current ADP? What I'm going to do, read you the first round and then read you the second round. And I want you to let me know one guy you'll drop out of the first to let one guy in. So again, one quarterback, because that's all I got for February. So the first round is Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Zeke Elliott, Todd Gurley, Alvin Kamara, DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham, Michael Thomas, big wide receiver run, Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, Melvin Gordon, Juju Smith-Schuster. Second round, Nick Chubb, Mike Evans, Joe Mixon, Keenan Allen, Julio Jones, David Johnson, Amari Cooper, James Conner, Pat Mahomes, Stephon Diggs, Antonio Brown, Travis Kelce.
I'm good.
You're good?
Yep.
Brian?
The two that I would switch are Mike Evans. And even though I really like him a lot, Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So Melvin Gordon is the one guy, and honestly, Tyreek a little bit, even though now they're rumors of the mega deal coming out where apparently Kansas City is going to say, we don't need no stinking defense, because that's the only way they can afford to give Tyreek Hill a mega deal at this point, is to lose half their defense. Even with that happening, I still don't know if I would ever spend a first round pick on Tyreek Hill. So Tyreek or Melvin Gordon are the two people I would drop out. I'm good with Juju in the first at this point. Guys, I would throw up there. Yeah, honestly, Mike Evans is probably my guy too.
I mean, I don't understand what does that guy have to do? I just don't get it. I don't get what he has to do to
be a first double digit touchdowns, and it's the only thing I could think of. Like, you know, 1,400 yards every year isn't enough. They need 10 touchdowns also.
But it's not like, I mean, he had, so his second year he had 3, and then in 17 he had 5. So those 2 years, but he's had 8 or more the rest of his career. I mean, he had 8 again this year. The other thing that happened this year is his catch rate is 7 percentage points higher than it's ever been in his career. So the uptick in efficiency, you know, and I was on this too. I was on when I was on the Superflex Super Show last year before Stompy was there, and I need to come back now that Stompy's there. But we were talking about Winston, and there's those guys don't really love Jameis a whole lot over there, which is fine. But we were talking about Mike Evans and how Jameis Winston would hold Mike Evans back long term here. And I argued that a slight uptick in efficiency would cause a bounce back season. And that's exactly what happened. So I guess the question is now, is it an outlier? Maybe 7 percentage points higher in his catch rate last year. So maybe it is an outlier. I don't know. But even if he splits the difference, I mean, he led the league in receiving this year. So if he splits the difference, I mean, yeah, you're talking around 1,400 yards, 85 catches, 1,400 yards. I mean, that's the type of guy, like, that's a first round startup pick to me.
I mean, to be fair, he is 14. I think the guys on the back part of that top five list, so Tyreek, Juju, Mike Evans, you can make very, very good cases for. You might even be able to make cases for them above Michael Thomas, too.
No, that's wrong.
No, it's not. Juju, I personally would rather have Juju.
I don't appreciate you brushing me off like that.
No, you're wrong. I'm SFBA champion. You listen to me. but it's definitely tough. I think there's a pretty consensus wide receiver one and DeAndre Hopkins. For me, I have Davante Adams at 2, but I think a lot of people still have Odell there. I think those three are pretty solid. And then 4 through 8, you can make an argument for all 4 of those in the top 5. Like I said, I prefer Juju just because he was super efficient in his first year. Then he got the volume in his second year, and he's only 22 years old.
And probably getting more volume.
Right.
This coming
Tyreek, if anybody, I'm probably taking Evans over Tyreek because Tyreek had like 3 35 plus point games last season. And then I think he had like 5 under 10 points. So that, I mean, the guy's a definition of a roller coaster. He's definitely not the guy that gets targeted 140 times every season like the rest of the guys in the top 8 are.
Yeah, I think it was like a little over a year ago at this point, I called him the fantasy prairie dog because it's just like up, down, up, down. But, you know.
I like that. I'm stealing that. That's mine now.
Oh, I would be honored for you to say things that I have thought up.
I do like you two a lot.
It's mutual, buddy. All right. But we should actually podcast.
I don't know.
So let's jump into the second Trade Addicts trade. Again, this is another Trade Addicts 6 trade. Since we're talking about Tyreek Hill in a 2022nd for Dalvin Cook, Doug Baldwin, and Curtis Samuel. Now, I think I lost this poll, but though I already gave up that I got the Dalvin Cook side. And I know I just talked about me not wanting to draft Tyreek. I actually traded for Tyreek and then traded him away. It may have been the same day. You know, the show and all.
Yeah, who did you trade him to?
That was Shane Manila.
Oh, really? I'm surprised it wasn't Eitan.
He tried. He was too slow. He tried to start offering me something, and then I sent this to Shane. This was a fun one. This is one where you just sort of, where you can put things together and just be like, all right, no, let's just do it. I sent this offer. I think this may have been my opening offer. He counters with something. No, I counter with something back. No. And he literally just goes, F it, man. Let's just do the first offer. And part of me was like, I want to reject this just to be an a-hole. Because, no, you should have accepted it the first time. I'm not going to accept it now. I want more. But I'm like, no, I just want Dalvin Cook. Give me Dalvin Cook. So, clearly, I like the Dalvin Cook side more than this. I think the world is too low on Doug Baldwin. I know Eitan has been catching crap online for saying that he's a cut candidate. Well, monetarily, it is a physical possibility. I don't think it's going to happen this year. Probably after this year, he's probably gone, which makes me sad. And I think the world is too low on Curtis Samuel. I think he fits exactly what the Panthers want to be, and I don't expect him to be a wide receiver one. Let's just put that out there. You need other players on your team. Not everyone's going to be a wide receiver one. But he was getting targeted pretty heavily at the end of the season. He's a very big dude. He was getting used in the end zone. And, I mean, he was used as a running back in college. So he can get a lot of usage. And as a guy that is going to be a bottom flex starter, that's exactly what you need, a dude that's going to get the ball. And, again, Tyreek Hill, prairie dog, and 2022 was just, you know, a sweetener for the pot. So I guess why don't you guys let me know how you feel about it?
I am not a boom bust player fan. I don't like Brandon Cooks. I didn't like Julio before this last season. I don't like Tyreek. Because like I said, I mean, a majority of his points were gained in like three games. And he dips below that double digit line a lot. I can't do it with Tyreek Hill. And unless, and this is a moment for to tell you how you should build your teams. If you're gonna have a Tyreek, have a guy like, and this is a bad example, but it's the best I can think of right now. Have a guy like Julian Edelman if he's playing the entire season, because you have the boom bust games from Tyreek, but then if you have Julian Edelman who's getting 15 points every game, you're kind of leveling out how bad or good a player can be, or a up-down player can be.
Like what we were saying before, like getting in and out of the first round, and you could take any of those wide receivers over than the other. If I grabbed Mike Evans at the end of the first and Tyreek Hill was sitting there at the beginning of the second, to me, that's an excellent pairing. Because like we always said, Mike Evans is steady, especially right. Just loving Mike Evans and the Arians offense idea. I don't think it could live up to what I want it to be, but so Evans is that steady guy who usually won't bust out on you on a week, which everybody does a little bit, but you know, usually he'll get you solid teen points and he'll have the bigger week. So that will insulate you from when Hill gives you six.
Right.
But also he can get you 25 when Hill gets you 35, and that's pretty much a week winner.
I mean, yeah, Tyreek can definitely be a week winner. But he's just too up and down for me. I'd rather have more steady production. I get
which is what you need out of a first round pick, which is why I won't take him in the first.
Yeah. So, I mean, Dalvin Cook's got his injury questions, but he did the second half of the season play a lot better. He got on the field more. I know Russ is a fan of, and we are a fan of saying that, be wary of ACL injuries the year after the injury, because there are compensation injuries like Dalvin Cook's hamstring. So there are guys like Cup and...
Let's say by Cup 4 weeks into the season.
Yeah, right. Who else? Will Fuller's another one to probably avoid and trade for in the middle of the season. So just be wary of that. So, and I agree on Doug Baldwin. He was injured last season. He's still been productive as early or as late as 2017. So I get that he's getting older, but I still think it was just a series of injuries that really affected him, and he could come back with a strong season this season. And then Curtis Samuel, I think, is extremely underrated. He's now the wide receiver two for the Panthers. Showed flashes last season. I think he was picked in the second round, third round, something like that. So relatively high. So he's going to get the snaps, and him, DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey can make a hell of a trio for Cam Newton there. So I'm taking the Dalvin Cook side. That was long-winded way to say I'm taking Dalvin Cook side.
Did you actually give us an answer, Brian?
I didn't. I would probably lean the Cook side as well here. For me, it has more to do with character stuff with Hill.
you know, he's an unbelievable player. He is boom or bust a lot of weeks, but over the course of the season, you know, he's a guy that when you see him on the opposite side and you're playing against him, it's like, oh, shite, they have Hill, right? So,
worries you so much it turns you Scottish.
Yeah, yeah. So, so I mean, I like Tyreek Hill, the player, a lot. He's electric. He's exciting, and he's a good wide receiver. But it, I mean, all it takes is one bad decision, and I know that that's the case for any NFL player. But these guys that have the histories, I just, you know, for me, it just mitigates the risk a little bit going with Cook. And he's a player that I like to bounce back this year a lot too. You know, and then Baldwin and Samuel are both guys that should have opportunities to produce. They're not my favorite guys, especially Samuel. I'm not as high on him, I think, as a lot of people are now. But I understand why they are. You know, the opportunity is going to be there in Carolina for him to step in and probably produce better than he has, obviously, so far. But so, you know, it makes sense to me why people are higher on him. He's just not a player that I particularly care for. But I still would take that side, the Cook side. I think there's enough value on that side for me to go ahead and take that side in this one.
Yay.
I like it when everybody agrees with me.
Oh, Shane, I don't like you. That's a lie.
That's a lie. Everybody actually likes Shane, no matter how much they are mean to him.
Yeah, but he also comes back at everybody. So,
oh, absolutely. He loves it. He feeds into it. It's like that's the little secret, that he loves how mean everyone is to him. It's one of those things. As long as you're talking about him, that's all he cares about. So, like I said, we're calling Brian out and everything, so he just ran for a pee break. So he won't know that I'm talking about it until he actually listens to the show. We'll see if he listens to the show. Yeah, actually knows about it.
he might die from a heart arrhythmia. I would never watch
that. Now I'm looking at the clock, worried, seeing how long it takes him to come back. All right, so let's move on to the next question to distract me from this. At Ross Verba, will Trey Quinn shine in 2019? Is Justin Watson the answer on the outside with Godwin playing slot? What will be the timeshare in Francisco between Matt and Jerick, and will Tyler Boyd be a low-end wide receiver one? That is a lot of questions shoved into one tweet. Let's start at the beginning. I'm a Trey Quinn fan. I believe they're not going to bother paying Jameson Crowder, which gives the spot to Trey Quinn, and to pair quarterback is, you know, slot guy is usually a pretty trusty guy. So I'm a Trey Quinn fan.
I agree. I mean, there have been discussions, I suppose, with the Redskins and Jameson Crowder bring back Crowder. Good Lord. So that one, I don't like predicting the future. So I'll say this. If Crowder isn't there, yes, I think Trey Quinn steps up, let's just say, gets 700 yards, 5 touchdowns. Yeah, which, I mean, it's not excellent, but pretty good for a slot receiver. That's probably a top 36 wide receiver right there.
Yeah, again, not everyone's going to be a wide receiver one. It's right. Just not the way the world works, and you will be wide receiver 2s and 3s. So, you know, especially what you have to pay for Trey Quinn, which I can't imagine you're paying more than a third for him. You know,
no, right.
Getting, you know, 705 touchdowns would be pretty awesome. Is Justin Watson? What?
Sorry. Well, anyways. I was just going to say, if Crowder is there, I could probably see the same thing. They need to get a quarterback. I don't think Colt McCoy is the answer. If they get Josh Rosen in there, I'm feeling a lot better about that wide receiver core.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so is Justin Watson the answer on the outside with Godwin playing the slot? I mean, do we think Godwin's playing the slot? Is that a thing?
I don't know where that came from.
Yeah, I don't know. We know that Arians is a big guy in the slot kind of guy, which leads me to believe it will be Godwin or Evans, and I'm a fan of whoever that ends up being. I do like Justin Watson as a talent, I guess I would say. DeSean Jackson, I'm going to assume, is gone, even though Arian making, you know, pleading his case to try and get him to stay. I think he's wanted out so badly that I don't know if he will stay, even though there's a change. And I think anyone in a... Sorry. What?
I was just going to say, they can save a lot of money by cutting them too, so...
Yeah. So the same way we've been talking about Quinn, the same way we've been talking about, well, not really Curtis Samuel, but price and expectation. You don't have to pay much to get Justin Watson. I think he'll score you some points, especially if Brate leaves and OJ Howard isn't healthy right away. So where most of their offense is going to be coming from those three wide receivers, because at this point they still don't, sorry, Ronald Jones fans, they don't really have a running back. Yeah, so we're going to move on to a territory that I like to talk about, Jerick McKinnon. Yeah.
Jerick McKinnon, eh?
Jerick McKinnon is not an every down back. I'm going to say every time we talk about him, if you thought he was going to be, that is silly of you. That is on you. That is not on Jerick McKinnon or his value. Bad. No. Yes, they are going to split the backfield. I think this is the perfect Freeman Coleman kind of thing, where they're not going to pull them off for situations. They're going to pull them off for not necessarily drives, but for spurts at a time until the, you know, someone's tired, you know, get fresh legs out there. Not to say that they're completely similar players, but they're close enough where I don't think you need to pull someone off in certain situations. They paid Jerick the money. We got our nice February coach speak of, we paid him to get, you know, we paid him starter money. We paid him to start, so he's going to start. Starting running back is like the most overused and overanalyzed phrase in the world, because starting at running back just means you play the first play and then doesn't matter whatever happens. I think he will get a majority of, even if 50-50, I'm not upset about it with what I think McKinnon. But he will hopefully get more, especially in the receiving game. What do you guys feel about that backfield?
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to get the bulk. I think he's going to, I mean, yeah, Matt Brady is going to get mixed in there, of course. I mean, he, you know, he performed admirably when he wasn't injured last year. You know, the same things that plague McKinnon as far as his body and the size and those types of things are the same. I mean, you saw it with Matt Breida this year. It's the same thing. I mean, they're very, very similar players to me. You know, I think McKinnon might be a little more explosive, to be honest, at least before the knee. Now, we just talked about ACLs and how the year after, right, there's compensation injuries. So I think that's definitely something to watch out for with McKinnon. You know, but I do think that he's going to get the opportunity to start there and get the bulk of the work. You know, this is another one of those scenarios, though, where, like, yeah, they paid him that money, but they can get out of it real easily, too. So, you know, if they don't bring anybody in, then I think he's the guy. I'm not convinced Tevin Coleman's not going to end up in San Francisco. I mean, Shanny loved him. Right, he's Shanny's guy. So, what's saying that they won't?
What? Well, he was the OC when he was drafted, I believe.
Yeah.
So I guess it is a distinct possibility, especially if they can get out of McKinnon without having to worry about a decent amount of money, so they could pay McKinnon that money.
Now they do have a lot of need elsewhere on that team, so you know, I don't know that that's the best use of their money. Because they already have McKinnon and Breda and Wilson and Mostert and whoever else was in there last year. I mean, all of those running backs produced in that system. So,
what to say? Yeah, I want of Shanahan backfield, regardless of, not necessarily regardless of who it is, but I kind of want a piece of Breda or McKinnon. And I know you're going to get Breda cheaper right now, But I mean, I believe so. That jet, not as much as Brian was trying to squeeze out of me last week. I wish I could remember what some of those offers were, but I'm not gonna look back. He's like, no, I know you like Jet, you're gonna pay for him. I'm like,
Jet, woo.
That was beautiful.
What was that?
It's Jet by Wings.
Angels singing.
Jet! Ooh, ooh, ooh! Jet! No?
Also where the band Jet got their name from, by the way.
Oh, yes.
It was literally that song. That wasn't me being clever in any way, because that's not very clever. But I read that somewhere. It's not interesting to anybody. All right, well, apparently my computer hates me, and it's trying to make me look bad in front of all you people, and so we're just going to move on from Jerick McKinnon, because I don't want Jerick McKinnon to be besmirched by bad internet. That can't happen. When we're talking about Jerick McKinnon, it needs to be crisp, clear, and concise, as Stompy yawns, really just visually.
Yeah, you're pretty boring, dude.
That is so hurtful. You have no idea. Moving on. Maybe we should get your co-host in for this part of the question. Will Tyler Boyd be a low-end wide receiver one this year?
No.
But it's now not. My ears hurt.
It's not that emphatic. Sorry. Listen, Tyler Boyd's great. I mean, he was good last year, but that offense isn't one of the best. I don't think it can maintain two wide receiver ones. I think AJ Green comes back, puts up his low end wide receiver one numbers like he does always. I do think Tyler Boyd can be a top 18 wide receiver.
I was going to say 20 and feel good about it. So yeah, I agree.
I don't think he'll be a low end wide receiver one, but middle tier wide receiver two, absolutely.
Yeah, and again, the price you have to pay for him, I think that's a great. When I was talking to the guys on Dynasty Trade Calculator, like his value is somewhere around like the 108, and to me that is crazy low, especially for someone that we think is a very super solid mid wide receiver too. Especially what you think of this class, like you were saying before, trade a pick that's going to be a Wookiee wide receiver.
Yes.
Dude, I would pay for a Wookiee wide receiver. Oh my God, do that. Yes, just that's the rest of the podcast. Keep doing that. All right. Brian's laying back with his arms crossed. He's not even getting in on this one.
Brian.
So, yeah, if you like your team, but you want, like I said before, you shouldn't really count on your rookies to produce for you, and you want a producing wide receiver. If you could flip the 108 into Tyler Boyd, I think that is a baller move. Because if you could spend the 108 and get someone that at least we think is a lock in for a top 20 wide receiver, lock is a bit of a strong word, but have a great feelings that he's going to be a top 20 wide receiver, I think, you know, that's a complete victory for you. So again, back to the actual question, low end wide receiver one, probably not. Top 20, I think, yeah. And
I will say that so using FF Statistics player splits tool.
Ooh, shameless plug. All in, baby.
You can actually like look at the splits when given players are on the field. Tyler Boyd was averaging 17.44 points on the field with AJ Green. So he actually did better with Green, and that would have been wide receiver 12 on the season.
I mean, that does make sense. He, especially being young and inexperienced with top cornerbacks, you know, it's nice to have AJ Green on the other side of the field.
So, yeah, he could. I mean, now that I look at it, I don't think he's worth that value, that low-end wide receiver one value. But middle tier wide receiver two, I could see all day.
Yeah, I said I value him around the 103, Tyler Boyd. And
this class, I think I agree. I would actually probably take him 102.
I have to think about that one. Brian, how do you feel about Tyler Boyd at all? Dude, I like, are you having a seizure? Should we need to call somebody?
I like Tyler Boyd. I like him a lot. Western Pennsylvania kid. For real.
Didn't he go to Pitt?
He did. Yeah. He's
shouldn't you hate him then?
He's from Clareton. Well, I don't hate people that go to Pitt. I get into it with Pitt fans sometimes because they're delusional.
They are. I mean, they just are. And that, but that's okay. I mean, I'm delusional too about things, so it's okay. No, there's been a lot of Pitt players across the years that I like, and he's from Clairton High School. So he's born and raised Western PA. So, I like Boyd a lot. He was a superstar at Pitt, but he was awesome there. And he's finally coming into his own in the league. So I'm really happy to see that, to be honest. But I would not take him quite as high as you guys are. I think I would probably take him in the mid first range, like 105 maybe, just because I think some of those other wide receivers have, I would take him over all of the running backs in this class. I think some of those other wide receivers have maybe some more upside, I guess. In my opinion, I like Boyd enough that I think, you know, it's fine taking him up there in that range. It's just, you know, that's just different feelings on different players, but I like him. I mean, he's a player that I've targeted this offseason. Haven't been successful getting him anywhere yet, where I've targeted him, but I like him. I mean, I like Boyd, and I think, you know, I'm not as high on AJ Green anymore as I have been in the past. The injury thing, when he's on the field, he produces, but he hasn't. I mean, last year he played all 16, I think, or 15, not last year, year before last, 17 season. You know, but he hasn't been a 1400 yard receiver since 2014. So I don't know. I mean, the injuries, I think, are catching up with AJ Green a little bit. And he still has that same issue at the quarterback position that I just don't like his quarterback. I mean, he's produced with him over the course of his career, I guess, but I just, you know, he's not a player that I am excited about as much anymore. And I think the emergence of Boyd, you know, yeah, he benefits from being on the other side, because the number one corners are going to be on Green, but you know, I think he's on, his value is rising, Green's value is dropping, and I don't like to get on board with players whose values are dropping typically in dynasty leagues. So, but Boyd's, like I said, he's riser, so I'm targeting him.
All right, before we get out of here, because I think that was all of our questions, or at least all of them I feel like answering. I was flipping through to see Tyler Boyd's ADP, which is 55. I noticed some players around him, so I wanted to do a floater, sink, or pinch with some of these wide receivers. Run through it again. Floater, you're going to float that trade out there. Sinker, you're going to drop him like a sink, you know, sinking one. And pinch, hold that tight. You're going to pinch him in there.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what people are thinking when they hear that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what they should be thinking.
Okay.
So the three wide receivers who have practically the same ADP, Chris Godwin at 54.83, Allen Robinson at 55.0, and Tyler Boyd at 55.83.
So wait a minute. Hold on here. So you're going to ask this question with two Penn State players and a Pitt player?
I'm quite sure he didn't know that or didn't really connect that. but I love
it. Can
I
remove myself from this?
You can stop talking anytime you want.
I didn't realize how good Penn State was in producing wide receivers.
Oh, they're not.
Well, I mean those two. Godwin, DeJuan Hamilton.
Justin Shorter's coming, buddy. That's the next one.
I'm excited about Justin Shorter.
I mean, I'll add Gesicki.
I love Devy, by the way.
I just joined my first Devy leagues. I'm pretty excited about it. I don't know what I'm doing, but I think I like it.
Oof.
All right, so let's get back to the game. Stompy, we'll let Brian marinate a little.
I'm going to float Allen Robinson. God, this is going to hurt me. Sink Chris Godwin and pinch Tyler Boyd. That hurts me a lot. I love Chris Godwin.
See, he's my floater because I think he has that hype going around him. And I think Allen Robinson still has that stink on him, which is wrong. Don't get, you know, I was prematurely in on Allen Robinson coming into this year. It was silly to think he was going to do as well as I wanted him to. But now I think he will. You know, he's completely recovered. He was getting those targets at the end of the year. He was looking much healthier at the end of the year. So I'm probably still going to pinch Tyler Boyd, which means, unfortunately, I am sinking Allen Robinson. But I think you can get more for Godwin than you can for Allen Robinson right now. So I'm going to float Godwin, sink Robinson, pinch Boyd.
And I will sink Tyler Boyd because it would be wrong with me as a Penn State grad.
There it is.
6 miles from campus.
I knew you hated Pitt deep down inside your soul.
So sink will be Boyd. Pinch will be. I have been debating Chris Godwin and Allen Robinson in my head for the last 3 months. And I still don't know who I like more out of those two. I really don't.
1.7 apart in ADP.
Yeah, I mean it's that's like choosing one of your kids over another one. Like that's hard, man.
What's crazy is looking at these individual mocks, Chris Godwin was selected the earliest and the latest. Also, the earliest he was selected was 41. And the latest either of them was selected was, again, Godwin at 66.
So I guess
Robinson was in the middle of all of those every time.
I guess I will say I will pinch Allen Robinson and hold Chris Godwin. Or I'm sorry, float Chris Godwin. I mean, if their value, if they're being drafted right around each other and their values are pretty similar to me, I'll go with the guy, I guess, that I've seen produce the elite season, even though it's really only been one elite season, and a guy who's pretty much the unquestioned number one wide receiver on his team. Because Chris Godwin, for as good and as talented as he is, I mean, Mike Evans is their number one. So
some Anthony Miller truthers are about to start chasing at you.
Good for Anthony Miller truthers. If people think Anthony Miller is a wide receiver one in Chicago, they're on drugs.
Yeah, Jay, Mike, he's not wide receiver one.
I mean, I like Anthony Miller. I like Anthony Miller a lot. I mean, I really do. He's a player that, I mean, I like him a lot, but he's not the wide receiver one in Chicago. He's just not.
I know. I was just.
Does Jay Mike really think that? God, I'm sorry, Jay Mike. I love you, Jay Mike.
He's an Anthony Miller truther, but I don't know if he thinks that. I just wanted to call him out.
Do you guys? Okay, so let me. So we're a trading show. Let me. I got an offer in a 12 team super flex league today, involving
was it
Allen.
It was not.
Yeah, I rejected you. Sorry.
You rejected me, not just my offer. All right. What's wrong?
So this is a league where I'm this is like a 2 or 3 year rebuild for me. It's been rough. I have the 103 and the 105, and a gentleman who I know he knows that I like Allen Robinson. I don't know if he knows why I like Allen Robinson so much, but he offered me A-Rob for the 103, and it's sitting here, and I don't know what to do, because I think value-wise, it's probably close enough. If he'd offered the 105, I think I'd have taken it already.
Did you counter? Did you talk to him about it? Because I think that's the move.
I didn't, but I think I probably will.
Counter with the 105, throw in a third, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I might do that. There's a player that we have not talked about tonight, as far as the rookie class goes, that
his name's Miles Sanders.
No, it's not. I do love Miles Sanders. I do love Miles Sanders, but no. It's Hakeem Butler.
Oh my God. That dude's an alien.
Dude, he might be my 101. That might be the guy I'm taking with the first pick if I have it this year. The dude is
over what show, but there's someone somewhere that agrees with you.
He is a freak. He's a freak. He's as freakish as the Kalen Metcalf.
Who?
DK.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean,
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say his full first name out loud before.
Quintoris Lopez.
Quintoris, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Julio, yeah. I don't know. It's tough. Those receivers are so polarizing. People have Metcalf 1, people have Metcalf 5, people have Butler 5 and 1, people have Harmon. You know, Harmon seems to be dropping because of his combine performance. I like a couple of those guys. So it just is a matter of who falls at that pick. But I would like to hang on to that in case one of those guys I like more than the others drops to the 103.
But that's also why I think the 101 is a nice trade chip, because you could find out who someone has there and start pulling that Kyler Murray smokescreen to try and get them to trade for that pick. And while, yeah, you're not going to get the haul you would get for the 101 in previous years, it's still something you could move and get value out of. And I mean, non-point scoring season, that's the game, name of the game right now.
So how do you feel about that trade? 103 for Allen Robinson.
Like you said, the value is on point. I would absolutely counter with the 105 and either a third or a low end wide receiver 3 and see if that gets it done. Because I think this might be the wedding registry move where you want the 105, but you throw the 103 just to see what happens. You'd be like, nah, I'll just give you the 105. So I think, you know, assuming they're not the best and final kind of trade people, which that's just lazy. Come on. I think 105 is a good move.
Well, and I've already made it abundantly clear, I don't like this class, but there's really only one wide receiver I would take over guys like Robinson, Godwin, Boyd, and that's N'Keal Harry, because I think he has the wide receiver 1 upside. Everybody else I have questions on, and I'm going to take the guy who put up an elite season over an unknown rookie. So N'Keal Harry's my 101, and then, I mean, it doesn't matter what 2 and 3 are, because I'm still taking Allen Robinson over anybody else in this draft.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, I think I agree with what Stompy was saying. If that's what it came down to, I probably would still do it, but I would still try the 105 because, you know, why not? All right, but on that note, I'm going to go to bed. We're actually much earlier than normal. I think we actually started on time, which we don't normally do. So before we head out, Stompy, remind all of the lovely, lovely people who decide to actually waste their time listening to us ramble where they could find you.
So I'm at FF Stompy on Twitter. Write and edit and content manager, whatever, for FF Statistics.
All in on FF Statistics.
Yep, all in. And you can hear my dulcet tones, dulcet sexy tones on Dynasty Diagnostic Podcast. Follow us at DYNO Diagnostic.
And seriously, listen to that freaking show. They're so good. Sorry.
Appreciate that, buddy. And then Superflex Super Show with John Hogan, James the Brain.
Go ahead, Brian.
Catullus. Watch me be totally butchered too.
Catullus. James. That's your name, James James. It's like Turk Turkleton.
Turk Turkle. You actually think my name is Turk? Scrubs is such a good show. Anything else you do?
By the way, really happy to know that you're a Chuck fan.
Oh, so much. Like,
heard that on DTC, and I was like, I had to explain to James why Chuck is such a good show.
Such a good show.
And then you said that on DTC, and I was like, I'm in love with Russ.
I hate Chuck.
Oh my God.
Wait. Well, because he's with Sarah Walker, and that's bullshit.
Hey,
that's my next date, Yvonne Stravosky.
So, I mean, if you erase the Morgan as the intersect time, which was a dark, dark time for us all,
yes, it was.
Chuck is just such a good show.
I love that show.
If you have no idea what we're talking about, it's not on Netflix anymore. It used to be
Amazon Prime.
Yep, Amazon Prime, Chuck. It is hilarious with a little bit of a, you know, geeky sort of vibe to it, which is wonderful, which is why I like it. Where were we talking about? I think I was trying to leave, right?
Yeah, we're trying to leave.
Okay. All right. So before we do that, tradeaddictspod.storeenvy.com. You could buy many of our wonderful, wonderful shirts. We have our hashtag never veto, because you should never veto trades. That should not be allowed. Hashtag team slow draft, because I'm not changing it every month. The shirt still says it's only February. I'm not going to change it every month, even though that would probably be hilarious. I'm just too lazy for it. But if you're one of those people that are just like, dude, come on, stop rushing me. It's February. You should wear this shirt. J Mike already bought one, because he's absolutely team slow draft.
Yes, he is.
And then we have, you know, our logo, our mascot. I love that little brain guy. I see Brian drinking his post NyQuil coffee from the Trade Addicts mug. and then there is patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. Give us a little bit of your money, because you love us. That'll make us love you a little bit more, even though we love you anyway.
Seriously, do that. Worth it. You get all sorts of trade advice in the chats.
Oh, yeah. The Cool Kids Club is such a good chat. It's, you know, for the Patreons only. You get in there, so many good people to sit and talk to, and pretty much that means I have to be at your beck and call at that point, even though I kind of work anyway.
I'm at your beck and call too.
Well, yeah, Stompy is in there. So if you want to hear from the champ, you jump right in there. Brian's smile is kind of awesome right now. Brian, you actually update your rankings?
Yeah.
You lying?
I did. No, I did. Like, I don't know when. I think like a week ago. Yeah, I think I tweaked them a week ago. I'll probably be doing it again sometime later this week or next. So,
all right. So yeah, Brian does Superflex 2QB rankings on DLF, DynastyLeagueFootball.com. Go check those out, as well as the other awesome podcasts in the DLF family podcast. Just subscribe to the stream, the master stream, the family stream, whatever the hell they call it these days. Never cross the streams. That's dangerous. Every show on there is just freaking fantastic. On that note, good night, Brian. Anyone else have anything?
Night, Outhouse. Night, Stomp.
I love you guys.
Love you, Stompy.
Love you, Stomp. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. You can follow the pod on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod. And follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Hart. Please remember to subscribe to Trade Addicts.